This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by Clark's Pump and Shop, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Edwin Watts Golf, and Georgetown Advantage Air. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf. A great way to start a Sunday morning talking about the game that we all love. A couple of things I want to touch on before we get to our first guest today, the just absolutely wonderful TJ O'Clair from the Caddy Network with his great stories about those other guys out on the golf course. A couple of things. First, this week, some really good news. Everybody that listens knows how much of a Tiger fan I am. Really good news. He is back home. It's been 3 weeks since that car accident on February 23rd. It's pretty amazing. But he tweeted out that he's happy to report he's back home, continuing his recovery. We all know the just devastating injury to one leg in particular, and the other one also. But hopefully, we'll keep getting updates. I know we will. And as we've said, if there's anybody that can do this, it's Tiger. We've seen how he won the U.S. Open on a broken leg, for goodness sakes. So it's just really good news. He gets to be with his family again, and that'll certainly make it a lot easier for him. So good news there. And just a thought. As I watch golf, I've watched this weekend. I always watch early in the morning the European Tour. And I know, kind of half kidding, but not really, I always talk about how I mute almost every golf telecast because of how bad our announced teams are, except with a few exceptions, Jerry Foltz and Karen Stupples and Dottie Pepper, people out on the course usually. All the rest of it is infuriating, absolutely infuriating, because they never shut up, ever. And then I watched the European Tour coverage, and it is brilliant. There is nothing extraneous said by any of the people doing the commentary. They allow you to watch what's going on the golf course. There's a 4-foot putt. They're not incessantly blabbering just to hear themselves talk. It's such a relief to watch a European Tour telecast. And if you haven't done it or you don't do it very often, just tune in. It's usually on early in the morning. It starts usually on Thursday, of course. But on the weekend, just tune into the Golf Channel and watch a little European Tour golf. Here go my boys. It's Sunday morning, of course. And oh yeah, peeps, shout out to my dear friend Chris Mascaro. Next on the Tee, there is no finer golf podcast than Next on the Tee. And Chris, thanks for your support always. Hopefully we can get together soon. Okay, let's get going here. I've been waiting for this. As all of you know, we've been on hiatus, and I've been waiting to get back so that I could talk to my buddy, TJ O'Clair, who is the director of content for the Caddy Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Caddy Network or thecaddynetwork.com or his personal Twitter at TJ O'Clair, A-U-C-L-A-I-R. Such great stories. Hi, TJ.
How you doing, Matthew? Thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, always, always. It's great to talk to you, and it's great to read all this stuff. You know, I know you know who Ryan French of the Monday qualifying, Monday Q Info is. And the almost more interesting to me and to seemingly thousands of people are the two sides of golf that we never really heard that much about before. for Ryan, it's the Monday qualifiers. And for you, it's caddies and the stories and everything that are involved. Because it brings the game much closer to all of us than somebody being able to hit a 240-yard 7-iron, which I do, but I think most people can.
You and Bryson, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can't bring that name up. That's another rule. His name is not to be mentioned, along with that other guy that cheats. I don't mention his name either. Anyway, the things on the Caddy Network are so fantastic. I want you to start talking to our listeners. There's a great story about a husband and wife team named the Hulkots that you've been following. Can you bring our listeners up to speed on the Hulkas?
Sure. We have this new series that we started about a month ago on the site called On the Road with the Hulkas. And it's Ben and Heidi Hulka, as you mentioned, a married couple out on tour. And Ben's father, Steve, was actually a caddy out there since the 1970s. Wow. Caddied for David Graham when he was number two in the world back in the late 70s, you know, had a bunch of wins. And didn't retire until just last year. He actually spent the last several years caddying for Brian Davis. You know, you want to talk about the opposite of cheating. That's the guy who at Hilton Head a few years back in a playoff with Jim Furyk hit a reed when he was just left of the 18th green in a playoff and called a penalty on himself. So anyway, Steve.
Yeah.
You're right. So Steve Hulka, he actually started a business called the Hulka Express. This was shortly after 9/11. And what their service does is they transport player equipment and luggage from one stop to the next. So guys can just jump on a plane. They don't have to worry about the luggage, and the Hulkas get it from one stop to the next. So when Steve decided to step back, his son, Ben, who also caddies on tour, he's with CT Pan and actually was an equipment manager for the Seattle Seahawks for two Super Bowl appearances, one win and then one beautiful loss to my New England Patriots. But anyhow, Ben got into the family business and met Heidi a few years ago, and she's along for the ride with him. So they, from every event in the continental U.S., they will take the clubs and the luggage. They have, you know, I don't know what the fee is, but it's basically a season-long fee for these players to save them from having to travel with their stuff on airplanes.
Right. It's just so interesting, and they're great. I mean, the two that you wouldn't be doing with, you know, if they were just deadbeats there, you wouldn't be doing it with them. There's a reason.
I mean, they're a young couple. Heidi's very creative. She's excellent on social media. So we just try to get them to give us kind of a snapshot of what their week is like week in and week out. You know, get some inside stuff from Ben, because another one of their jobs, along with transporting the luggage, is when they're at every stop, they're the ones who sell the yardage books and the greens books to the players and caddies. They have all the towels on their trailers that the caddies use in the competition. The Valspar hats that you see caddies wearing, they have all those in the van to hand out every week. So there's quite a bit that goes on behind the scenes that we're trying to get people to see that you may not have otherwise known.
And you're doing a great job. And it's, boy, talk about, this is not your traditional marriage.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and the thing is, you got to really love and like the person you're doing it with, or there's no chance of this happening.
Oh, you do. And I mean, they're, you know, it is a crazy lifestyle for them, because I mean, especially when, you know, Ben's got a pretty good player right now in CT Pan, who,
yeah,
when he makes a cut, he plays on the weekend. Heidi's pretty much responsible for getting the trailer loaded up while Ben's out on the course. If Ben misses the cut, he's sticking around a couple days to get all the gear loaded up, and then,
yeah,
pretty much as soon as that winner's raising that trophy, his gear is in that trailer and they're on to the next event. So
amazing. An amazing story. And this is what's so great about the Caddy Network, bringing stuff like this to us all the time. I just had a thought, which doesn't happen with me very often, as you know. But I mentioned that guy that cheats on tour that I don't talk about his name. It just occurred to me, Who is his caddy? Do you know offhand who Patrick Reed's caddy is?
Patrick Reed's caddy is his brother-in-law, Kessler Corain, who's been very good to me, by the way.
I imagine, because there have been different instances with him, as we all know and as we have all seen, I always wonder about his caddy. I think I knew that he was kind of family, but
It must be difficult for him as a caddy to go through these kinds of things. Have you ever spoken to him about that?
I've not spoken to him about that, but I do want to just say right off the bat that Kessler has been very good to me. I don't have any problem. Yeah. He's a very friendly guy. I think amongst the caddies, he's well-liked.
Yeah.
He did have, you know, the incident at the President's Cup in Australia where he wasn't allowed to caddy the final day because of a little scuffle with a fan. But, you know, I don't know. I'm sure it's tough because you hear everybody talking. Kessler has a presence on social media, so I'm sure that he sees everything that's said. But, you know, I guess at the end of the day, you're a team out there and, you know, you're gonna stick up for your teammates. So I can't answer that for Kessler, but I would imagine that's, you know, that's how he approaches it.
Of course. And I hope I didn't put you in an awkward position. That just occurred to me because so many things on tour happen with the players. And again, because of you, we now think about their caddies as well. I mean, you were with PGA.com, the director of digital for PGA.com. The amount of content and social media and every camera now able in slow motion frames to pick up shots and all kinds of things. We're able to see everything now, as you can attest to that better than anybody.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's a little, little segue there that you may not have intended, but was a great one. But just last week,
we did this
Caddy Confidential series once a month where we try to find a hot button issue. And, you know, you're obviously not going to have 12 months worth of hot button issues, but the one that we had this month was based on cheating. How many PGA Tour pros cheat? We surveyed the caddies, and surprisingly, I think the number was about 38%, they said, of tour players cheat. And the caveat there was that it's not always intentional. It may be a bad drop. And then we kind of asked, you know, what is the one rule in golf that players sort of fudge? And they talked about, you know, it's pretty much when you hit your ball in a lateral hazard or whatever, just taking a drop where, you know, you're kind of getting away with it because your playing partner may not have seen where it crossed the hazard. So, you know, it was interesting. I implore everybody to go check that out, but you get a lot of info on that. And then guys also shared stories without naming names. Of course, we weren't going to get in the business of, you know,
of course,
pointing anyone out, but giving stories about certain things that they've seen on the course, whether it's, you know, consistently moving a ball marker closer to the hole or to the right of the ball several times before they, you know, put the ball down and take the mark out to avoid a break. But it was very interesting, you know, so I think, you know, it's as one caddy pointed out in the survey, it's human nature. You have so many people out there. There are people who cheat. So the tour is not exempt from that just because it's the tour.
It's society. I think the big problem that all of us that love the game have is this is the only game where you call penalties on yourself, the only sport. And we always talk about honesty and integrity. I had a conversation with the head of Golf House Kentucky about this, about the youth, and that it teaches them life values other than just a sport. And then, but it's like society, you know, if nobody's looking, that's part of the problem I have with Patrick Reed, is that these stories about him go back way before he got to tour. So it's, you know, of course, if he doesn't think somebody's looking or whatever, you know, maybe he might do something. So,
you know, and I think also the consensus that I got from a lot of caddies is in a lot of ways, rules officials can be enablers, right?
Oh.
So like, if you can see something that's egregious, call the player on it. Don't let them tell you what they did. I mean, like to your point, there are cameras everywhere now. There's slow motion. Whether the intent was there or not, if it's a violation of the rule, make that player accept that penalty on the spot.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think that's the problem that maybe a lot of playing partners have, is the rules official is still going to go by the word of the player who's in the situation instead of the playing partner, which is wrong. And I will say this too. The great Bobby Jones, he's got a ton of famous quotes. One of them that, you know, is an adage everyone uses is, if you cheat, you're only cheating yourself. Well, guess what?
Right.
That may have been true when Bobby Jones was playing. That's not true now. Because if you cheat on the PGA Tour in a 156-man event, you're cheating 155 other guys.
Correct.
Serious money, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I think if I think the way to stomp that out right away is if these officials, and I hate to put all the blame on them. I mean, the player shouldn't be putting an official in that
right,
spot.
But
anyway.
A lot of it goes on them.
If it's egregious, call the penalty. Make them take, you know.
I can't remember, of course, who it was last weekend. There was one of the players hit a shot right by a drain next to the green and got, it might have been Dreisaitl.
Victor Hovland.
Victor Hop, and not only me, a ton of people couldn't understand why he was getting a drop there. The drain was not in his line. It wasn't where he was standing, it didn't appear. And then the rules official came over and everybody was left scratching their head going, wait a second, because as you said, there were five cameras right there looking right at it.
Yeah.
Which I guess rules officials should be more mindful of that now, too. It's not just them out there by themselves. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, the funny thing about Hovland is he got that free drop. And then after that round was complete and he signed his card, he got a call from his mother back home in Norway, who said, you need to go back to the scoring trailer and take a penalty. And he said, for what? And she was watching the PGA live coverage. So every shot that he was playing, and he forgot to replace his ball marker on one of the greens. So he moved his marker out of the way for his playing
partner. Before he putted.
Forgot to put it back, and only his mother noticed it. So he had his mother calling a penalty on him, and then, you know, went and got it fixed. So
I didn't see that. That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. Before we let you go, is there something else that you think might be of interest that our peeps can check out on Caddy Network?
Well, you know, we've got a ton of stuff now with this Caddy Confidential. We've got the Hulk, as you mentioned. We also have this new series called The Caddy Line, where I have this caddy who you should have on your show sometime, by the way, who's outstanding. John Rathaus, he was a veteran caddy for 16 years. In fact, you want to talk about bad luck for caddies. This is a great story. So it's not a great story for my buddy John. But last fall, when Martin Laird broke his winless drought and won in Vegas, That's who John Rathaus was caddying for. John is our resident expert for betting and fantasy or whatever.
Yes.
And Rathaus could not make the tournament because his wife was due with their first child. So Martin Laird wins, and then John's wife has the baby 6 hours later. John hasn't been back out to caddy until this week for Nate Lashley at the Honda Classic. So, you know, so bad timing for John, but lucky for us, because now he does a couple of videos a week where he breaks things down. And then when he is caddying, gets that, you know, odd spot start like he is this week. He just does a course preview with us because it's a conflict if he's, you know, gambling advice while he's out there.
He's fantastic. The whole betting fantasy thing now that's up on thecaddynetwork.com is great, along with every single thing that you do there. I always say this, I am blessed to know you and to have you join us every once in a while. And we have so much more to talk about, and we'll catch up with you soon again. And thanks so much. And thanks for walking to your past your wall with your seven masters flags hanging up there. That was awesome. You're a great one, man.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Joining me now, I'm very excited. And this is going to happen quite a few times during this season of Backspin Golf. Jeff Atkerson is joining us. He's the CEO and the executive director of Golf House Kentucky, which is our umbrella organization here in Kentucky for a whole family of golf organizations. And I'll let Jeff explain a little bit about them. Hi, Jeff. It's great to have you with me.
Good morning, Matthew. Thanks for the opportunity to be with you again.
Yeah, it's just there is so much going on now, we're happy to say, as we get back a little bit more towards whatever used to be. I almost can't remember at this point, but I want, before we get into some of the things that Golf House Kentucky is doing, I want you to just remind our viewers about what exactly Golf House Kentucky does.
Sure. You know, it does a lot, just as you alluded to. We are the parent umbrella organization, if you will, for golf in Kentucky, just as you mentioned. We are the home to the Kentucky Golf Association, which is one of 59 allied golf organizations with the United States Golf Association. So we partner with the USGA and are the lead organization for them here in Kentucky. We're also one of 41 sections with the PGA of America. And so we've got the Kentucky Golf Association, the Kentucky PGA, and then we also have the Kentucky Golf Foundation. And that's really where we're seeing a lot of positivity and a lot of opportunities and a lot of really great things. Not that the other two organizations aren't, but both of them work very closely with the foundation and really trying to bring the game of golf to a lot of different people across the state of Kentucky. They all the organizations each kind of have their own focus, if you will. The golf associations with amateur golf, the APGA is with professional golf, and then the foundation is just really for the good of the game as a whole.
Yeah, you know, I think I've reminded you and my listeners many times that I'm an award winner with the Kentucky PGA. I mean, you know,
yes.
I'm a big deal, Jeff, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, you are.
Yes, and yes, I have. I remind people all the time. This Golf House Kentucky started in 1978, so it's been around for a very long time. And as one of the things I want to touch on, which, as you said, all the organizations have their own focus and they're all important. But to me, the youth groups and what you do with the youth of Kentucky may be the most important thing, because that's how we grow the game and we'll have people involved for the rest of their lives. Talk to us a little bit about Golf House Kentucky's involvement with youth. There's so many things.
Right. And I could probably fill up the rest of your show talking about all these things, but we have our junior tour. We have about 750 youth memberships on the tour and participate, various age ranges. We actually start our season this coming Sunday over in Lexington, and I'm really excited about it. We've got a full field, sold out the event, have a wait list for it. And again, you know, we'll play 45 to 50 tournaments throughout the year. We're also involved in the Kentucky High School Athletic Association, and we help support them at their middle school and state championships that they play later in the year. We also are involved very heavily with the Youth on Course program, and the Youth on Course program originated out of California, but we've joined in on the fold of that. We've had 4 years in which we've participated in it, been recognized as a gold status organization with Youth on Course the past 2 years. And Youth on Course is a program that's designed to really provide affordable access to youth at golf courses. We've got 60 golf courses across the state of Kentucky that participate. We've negotiated opportunities with the youth. They can pay a $5 membership fee and then go and play at these 60 golf courses and play either 9 or 18 holes for $5 or less. Which is
that's so incredible. It really is.
Last year with the pandemic, you know, certainly that was a, you know, we're still dealing with that. And a lot of issues there. But the one silver lining in it is that we saw a resurgence in golf. And last year we saw record number of participation in Youth on Course. We played over 7,500 rounds of golf with our Youth on Course participants.
The numbers are really staggering, you know, and it's so great. Anytime you see kids of all ages out on a golf course, I went over to our great practice facility, Man of War, a couple nights ago. And there was a youth clinic going on over there, and kids on the putting green, the chipping area, everywhere. And it just made me smile the whole time I was over there, because, you know, Jeff, I grew up in New York and we didn't play golf growing up. There were no public courses. I'm so old that it was not cool to play golf. We used to laugh at sometimes beat up kids that played golf. And I wish more than anything I had started when I didn't start till I was 31. I wish I had started when I was young.
And now, you know, we've got a very successful PGA Junior League program here in Kentucky. As a matter of fact, it was, I think, ranked number 7 out of the 41 PGA sections last year as far as participation goes.
Wow.
And that brings in youth golfers and provides a team environment for them to play and takes off the pressure, and they come and do it in camaraderie and have their teammates there pulling them along, because golf, as you know, is such an individualistic sport. But now we're introducing youngsters to the game through that team environment, which they're accustomed to, and they've got that support group. And you know, so far this year, registrations for our PGA Junior League are up 90% over last year.
What?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's amazing to see the growth. And it's up 90%, you know, last year was up, I think, 80% over the year before. So, I mean, it's just, it's tenfold. We even had one PGA professional here in Kentucky that was a top 10 participant individually in the program that they combined provided for PGA Junior League. So, you know, if you're interested and you're listening and you've got a youngster that is new to the game or thinking about playing or wanting to play, look into PGA Junior League. It's a great opportunity and one that the families and parents get involved with. We're piloting in some family cup activities this year at golf courses to get the whole family out together.
Oh, great.
So there's just, as you said, there's just a lot of really new, exciting programs that are going on and opportunities to get people engaged in the game of golf.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jeff Atkerson of Golf House Kentucky. And, you know, the thing everybody has to realize, too, this is not, when you get your children involved, this is not just about playing the sport. This is about life lessons. This is about learning honesty and integrity and good manners and everything involved. Everything that's the opposite of Patrick Reed. That's you know, I have a whole history of not liking that guy. But it's about so much more than just the game of golf. When kids get involved.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, thinking back, I started playing the game when I was, you know, 9, 10 years old. And I'm very quick to point out and tell you that a lot of the personality characteristic traits that I have right now all stem back to the game. And,
wow,
you know, it's a sport in which you call the penalties on yourself.
Yep.
You know, and I've seen tour players that have foregone winning tournaments because they called a penalty on themselves that you can't even see on camera.
Right.
But they called the penalty themselves. And so it really does teach so many life lessons and really, I don't know, I can sit here and talk about that for a long time, but it really is a special game from that standpoint. It's a game for life too. You know, I mean, you know, at some point in time, we're all going to get old and it gets hard to run up and down a basketball court or you know, take some of those hits that they take on the football field. But, you know, golf, you can play for a lifetime.
And, well, you know, my dad grew up very poor in New York and never played golf. During the summer, we were up in upstate New York, and every once in a while he'd take us just to hit golf balls, just for something to do. And he used to say to us, you know, a lot of business is done on the golf course and all of those kind of things. But as I said, we never had the opportunity or desire to do it. And, you know, I wish, as I said, that I had really started to play. One of the things that you learn as when you play in later life is fear. And that's something that, again, for life, not just for golf, kids don't have fear when they're learning the game of golf. I get in the sand trap and my first thought is, uh-oh, I'm dead. Kids jump in a sand trap because they can't wait to get in there and hit it. All those things are really important. We got a couple of minutes left, Jeff. I wanted to ask you this. How much golf do you get to play now?
There's a lot of opportunities to play, yes. You know, with working with all the organizations and things, sometimes it gets a little tough to get away because I still want to try to spend time with my family too. And
right.
You know, but there are opportunities to play and, you know, I've battled a few injuries over the years. But, you know, I'm feeling better. I'm looking forward to getting back out onto the golf course more this year. As a matter of fact, I just got a text from an individual a few minutes ago about a golf trip we're trying to put together in mid to late April. So really excited to get out on the golf course. It's great for exercise. It's nice to get away and escape some of the challenges that we've faced over the last year. You talked about the mental side of it. It's nice to be able to get out and kind of recharge your batteries, get some fresh air, you know, and then you get the health benefits of it too. It's a it's a game that's low impact on your body, but you certainly can still get that physical activity and involvement outside. So
yeah, one of the we always looked in the last year for silver linings during the pandemic, and golf was the biggest one for me, because even in the midst of it, once the courses reopened, when everybody was still shut in and not being able to do things, you could go out and walk and socially distance really easily on a golf course. And it helped. It helped a lot.
Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, around the country, there were about 25 states or so that did even shut down to golf.
Right.
Thankfully, here in Kentucky, we were able to keep golf courses open and provide that outlet for everyone. And,
right.
You know, we saw record numbers coming to the golf courses, and we're looking, you know, things are trending to continue for this year. So we're right. really excited about this year.
Okay. How do people get in touch with Golf House Kentucky?
Easiest way is on the website, kygolf.org. And we also have all the social media outlets that
right.
you want to follow. And we've even started a podcast that we're hoping to get you on here pretty soon. Golf Pod Kentucky, presented by TaylorMade Golf.
Yep.
And we focus on getting, you know, ties to Kentucky golf on there. And, you know, Josh Teeter, who's out on tour, you know, he's been a guest on there, and we've got a long list of folks that we're looking to get on. So hope to get you on there, Matthew.
I talked to Ethan about it, and if it's good enough for Josh Teeter, I'll certainly do it. I'll just say, we're going to be speaking to you on a semi-regular basis. And thanks so much for jumping on today. And I can't wait for you and I to get out on the golf course together also. Thanks, Jeff.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Men O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf, Sunday morning. Oh, you all know that. Well, maybe some of you don't. I lose track of days. Maybe some of you don't. And it's time for my partner in crime is a really bad term because there's no crime. Partner in golf. My partner in golf, Matt McGrady from Man O' War Golf. Best practice facility anywhere. I have people quote that to me, like at Kroger. Hi, Matt McGrady.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you at that? Look at that. I'm looking at you. We're on the radio. His beautiful Zoom backdrop of Man O' War Golf on a pretty much cloudless day with that beautiful drive. Look how big that freaking driving range is. Oh, my Lord. How many do you know? You're the director of operations there. Do you know how many spots you have in that driving range? Do you have any idea?
The peak of summer will have probably 180 spots to hit from.
180.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we're on the graph.
That means, yeah. And that means that you have to have, I don't know, 2 million golf balls?
Usually we have anywhere from, in the peak of summer, we'll probably have 5,000 dozen.
Oh, wait, 5,000 dozen.
Right. So that's about 6,000 golf balls.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And I know a couple of weeks ago I said I was going to come out one day and drive the, that machine, that thing that rolls around and picks up all the balls. We have to schedule
that. We've
got
a new one in. We just got a brand new one.
Oh, good. Because I don't want an old one.
It's like the Cadillac of range pickers.
Does it have GPS so I don't get lost?
You've got a USB where you can plug your phone into it. And of course
it does. Oh, this is awesome. all right. Here's where I want to start today with you. I want you to talk to us because you are in charge of most everything that goes out there. I want to talk to you about clinics and specifically youth clinics mm-hmm. or beginners. It doesn't have to be youths, as we say, as you know who would say in one of my favorite movies, My Cousin Benny. Beginners taking up the game. You've never played before. You decide you want to play. What do they do? What should the first thing they do be? Should they take a lesson or should they go to an adult clinic? What's the best course?
I think the best thing to do usually, and a lot of people say, should I take an individual lesson or should I do one of your adult clinics? Well, for somebody who's never touched a club, we always recommend the adult clinics. It's a lot easier way to get started. It's a lot less stressful. That's the key. It's not as intimidating as an individual lesson can be, especially from Big Brad Brad. You know that. Yeah. It can be a little intimidating, right? We keep the adult clinics here very relaxed and very informative and very beginner-based because we want it to be fun as you start. We don't want it to be like, oh, you're not doing it right, and do everything super hard-nosed and per se non-educational, because then you may not want to come back.
Right.
We want to be able to send you through this class, and after you've gone through this class, you're able to go into individual lessons after that. That way you have your, because we start with putting and how you putt and, you know, the right and wrong things to do on a putting green. Then we go to chipping, same thing, you know, where to walk, where not to walk in somebody's hitting line, in the iron swing, you know, how it works, and to replace your divots, fix your ball marks on the green after you've made one. And then you go into driving and how that works, where to tee off on the tee box. And so after you go through the whole class, then you're a little bit more comfortable, and then you can go into adult individual lessons.
Well, it actually makes a lot of sense. First of all, you're in a situation with people that are just like you, that are learning the game. So you're all in the same boat together there. And I know that it can be fun in that situation. Do you find that the beginner clinics, I'm just curious, to people, I guess you have people that come out like with a full set of brand new clubs, even though they've never played before, right?
The big box stores, and they'll buy them a box set that's brand new, and they just ripped it out in the parking lot, and they're asking if they get somewhere, or if we have somewhere we can throw their box away. And then we have people who come with absolutely nothing. They have nothing to just learn. And either way is fine. You know, we've got plenty of clubs here, of course, that you can use. You know, the only thing that I always caution people about buying clubs before that is you could buy something too short. It could be too stiff. It could not be stiff enough. You know, there's so many things that go into that. But when you're first learning, the most basic set will do just fine for the first couple of months.
Of course. All right. Now, this leads us into a discussion you and I had this past week. We talk about Man of War Golf being one of the top 100 club fitters in America. America. At Kentucky. America. And I am going to, as we're getting almost to the point where I can have my normal 6:30 a.m. tee time at Picodome or Kearney Hill or Tate's Creek, or we're getting to that point, I'm going to get a new set of clubs. And I talked to you about coming over there and being fit for these clubs. And I want you to just remind people what goes into fitting clubs that makes it so important that this step is taken when people are thinking about changing their set of irons, say, or getting a new driver.
Mm-hmm. It's very, what a lot of people, there's a lot more that goes into it than what people think. You know, there's like the length, you know, we measure wrist to floor. So where your wrist, if it hangs down by your side, your wrist to floor length, that kind of determines how long or how short or standard length the club needs to be. And some people I've seen some people who are 6'3" use standard length clubs. And just because they're 6'3" doesn't necessarily mean they need longer clubs.
Right.
So, we're going to go put you on a launch monitor and see your numbers compared to your old set and compared to the new set that you might get. And we've got, of course, every manufacturer here that we can take you through and hit their clubs. And you kind of take it and you narrow it down. You might try three different shafts in one head and one shaft and from another company in one head. And then you just kind of like putting a puzzle together and you get down to the last couple. And usually the last two or three irons that somebody's hitting, they're pretty close. And the golfer can make their own decision about which one they're going to go with.
Right. It's really a pretty amazing concept and process to go through. I will just say this. I played last weekend with my friend Charles, and he has a set of, he has a three wood, I have the same 3-wood. Our heads are the same. And I've been having trouble. You got to work with me hitting my 3-wood. Uh-huh. A lot of trouble. And I'm not really sure why. Is 3-wood. And I launched one. It was perfect. Same head that I had. And I said, what is this? What's the difference? He said, that 3-wood you just hit is an inch longer.
Uh-huh.
The shaft was different than the one. And so that makes a difference too. But just that inch longer, I think, allowed me to stand up a little more and actually extend my arms instead of trying to manipulate my swing at the ball. I just swung the club and I launched one. Of course, I tried to buy his from him right there. He wouldn't do it. Understand why.
Huh? I said, we all know Charles. He's not going to sell it right there.
But anyway, so I am going to be coming in hopefully this week and work on getting some new clubs over there at Man of War Golf. Because it's, as I always say, there's no better place to do all of this. And I need a chipping lesson.
We can
also, yeah, you can do that. I've told this story too. You watched me hit a hybrid one time after one swing and made an adjustment, and I started hitting the ball really well. So I feel pretty confident that you can help me because my swing is basically perfect. It's got to be my technique or something.
Maybe between the ears.
I've had that said to me too, and it's very comforting to know that's my problem. All right. Well, as I said, I'll be out to see you, and thanks for jumping on as always. I know it's going to be a busy weekend. It's busy all the time now over there at Man of War Golf, and you're the dude. You're my partner in golf. Get used to it.
Love it.
All right. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
See ya. All right. That'll do it, peeps. For another edition of Backspin Golf. As always, thanks to my great partners, Edwin Watts Golf, Lexington Parks and Rec for our 5 great golf courses, Georgetown Advantage Air, my peeps, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, and Clark's Pump and Shop. Oh, and Man of War Golf, of course. Talk to you all next Sunday. 802 or 803, depending on how you want to look at it. Right here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. Thanks for listening. Have a great Sunday.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.